Well, hello everybody. My name is Stacy and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I usually like to be a little more prepared. I usually like to have at least an outline of what I'm going to say, but you know what? That's okay. God'll help. God'll guide me. And this is Mr. Spock. Go play. I'm going to center myself first, and I'm going to give the third step prayer because it really helps me so much. And so let me offer myself to you to build with me and do with me as you will. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do your will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. Okay, so as of this month, I think I've been in OA for 8 years. I came in the spring of 2016, so 9 years now. And I came in April of 2016, after having bariatric surgery in Christmas time in 2015. And so I spent what, 4 months? A whole 4 months in that bariatric surgery. You can lose all the weight you can lose because you're not able to physically eat anything. And life is good from a fat person's perspective. And at that 4 month mark, I really started realizing that things weren't quite as good as it needed to be. As I, you know, it, things were starting to creep back in already at 4 months. You know, some folks who with the surgery say you get about a year, and I didn't have a year. I had known about OA before I had my surgery, and I never went because the meeting that was closest to me, the website said it was closed, and I thought that that meant that it was closed, that I couldn't go. Turns out that that meant they didn't want outside people, which is strange because that's the one that the students always come to. Buffalo is a college town. I'm in Buffalo, New York. We have a lot of colleges, and the professors tend to send their students, nursing and PT and OT and whatever, send their students to OA meetings. So I came to OA, and I immediately started hearing people's stories. I immediately started, you know, there was like four women at the meeting that I would started going to in a church basement just down the street from my house. And I immediately started hearing people say the things that I had been saying all along, that they were doing these things that with food, eating a whole bag or a whole box, or just not being able to stop. And I immediately thought, wow, these are my people. And so I now I just kept coming back, and I can't drive. The one big meeting in Western New York is on Saturday mornings, and it's a 25-minute drive from my house. And one of the ladies at the Monday night meeting had offered to take me, and she said, you know, this Saturday is intergroup. If you want to come, you have to come early because it's intergroup, and I've got to be at intergroup. And I said, all right, well, that's fine. Well, then I got a job because I was the only person, you know, they needed somebody, some help with technical stuff, and you know, I ended up being like at the very first intergroup meeting I ever went to, I ended up getting the job as their webmaster. And that's a job I still have 9 years later. We thought we had found somebody to do it, and he fell off the planet. Anyway, so I got really busy in service. Maybe not really busy. Anyway, I got busy in service, and so that kept me. I got a commitment, and I had to stay in the rooms. And I didn't exactly have a sponsor. Sally was going to help me, and she was gonna, you know, but she didn't have time to sponsor me. But she would help me, and so she was the person that I always called. And I started, you know, I never really started working the steps. I guess I, you know, I bought the books, and I guess I figured I could do it on my own. And I started just reading the books and doing kind of sort of going through. I did really well with step one. I knew step one. I was a compulsive overeater. I had been hiding food under my bed since I was like 4 years old. I was the world's worst babysitter. I would come into your house and as soon as your kids went to bed, I was going through your cupboards. And I got fired from a babysitting gig because we I at the time I was taking this the kids' school bus home with them, which was much to their bus driver's. He didn't like that. But I would take the bus home with the kids and spend a couple of hours after school with them while their mother before their mother came home from work. And she would love it if I had made dinner, but what I would always do with them was bake because that was my kryptonite. And she's like, "You can't bake anymore." And so I stopped baking, but I just started taking the ingredients. And she's like, "Yeah, you have to go." So I did all these things and I knew that I had a problem and I wasn't finding the solution. You know, nothing was filling the hole. The food wasn't filling the hole and getting some service and having stuff to do was keeping me busy, but it wasn't solving the problem. And years had passed by and I led a retreat and I was an intergroup chair and I was busy, 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 but I wasn't abstinent because I wasn't figuring out why, I wasn't trying to figure out what was going on. I had kind of given up. I work two jobs. I am absolutely blessed. I work from home, but that means I sit down in this chair at the beginning of my day and I don't move, sometimes for 12 hours or 14 hours, depending on what's going on. And I had just gotten to a point where I thought, well, I'm never going to be able to afford to retire. So I'm just going to be sitting in this chair until, 15 minutes before my funeral. I may as well just enjoy my food. I don't have to, why bother being able to do anything else? I'm never, we get out, I get out of work and all my husband wants to do is sit and watch TV. So I don't have to be in fit physical shape to do that. And that's where I was. I just had kind of given up. Still kept coming to OA. Because I love the people and I love, I had a job that I had to do, so I just kept staying in the rooms. And thank God I stayed in the room. Thank God I stayed in the room because one Saturday after this big meeting that as I said, we have our big Saturday meeting, and a lot of the girls go out to lunch after the meeting, and they were all talking about, "Oh, I'm taking this workshop and it's so great and I'm doing it and it's and I'm going to this class, this spin class, and I'm going to the swimming class and I'm going to da 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 da." And I'm thinking, I give up. This is a program for retired people. I'm never going to be able to retire. I guess I might as well just turn in my jobs and just do my paid job and forget the rest. And somebody told me, you don't have to do it all in order to be successful in this program. You have to do something, though. You have to start doing something with, and she had mentioned this particular meeting, this your this 5 a.m. meeting, and she's like, maybe this will fit in your work schedule. And as it turns out, it does. And so I set my alarm for 4:45, and I got here at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I met a different group of people, and a lot of people in this room that have continual recovery and continual abstinence and inspiring stories. Maybe I just wasn't hearing in my face-to-face groups, or I don't know. I just wasn't hearing the same message. So, I started coming. And then somebody asked for service, and I'm like, well, I like to be involved. I like to be in the middle. And I think part of that is that I want to be one of the cool kids, and I think the cool kids are the ones that do the service. I always wanted to be one of the cool kids. I was never one of the cool kids. I have been a fat kid for my entire life. Grew up in a teeny tiny little town. We had a kindergarten through 12 school. I grew up with the, I knew these kids. And they picked on me from being fat in kindergarten. And by fifth grade, we had either become friends or I had beaten them all up. And it was the same kids that I graduated high school with. We few here and there changed, but I always wanted to be one of the cool kids, and I never was. So I thought that being, in order to be a cool kid, you had to do service. So I got more service. I got a service job. And that made me have to get up at 4:30 in the morning because I had to do stuff before I could just jump into the meeting. And then I started adding in prayer and meditation. I had heard somebody say, it really is helpful to do prayer and meditation in the morning. So I set the alarm for 4:15 and I started my morning. As soon as I open my eyes every morning, the first thing out of my brain is the Serenity Prayer. Followed almost immediately by, "Ow, cat, get off my bladder." And so then somebody said, it really helped. You got to get a sponsor. I heard one of you say you have to have a sponsor in order to work this program. And I didn't have a sponsor. As I said, I was trying to do it on my own. And so I said, well, I don't know how to get a sponsor. I don't really know any of these people. I don't know anybody yet, but I gotta get a sponsor. How do I get a sponsor? And then the chat poster puts this link in this WhatsApp link. And what's WhatsApp? Okay, well, fine. Let me figure this out. I followed the WhatsApp link and I said, okay, well, I'm just gonna put a little bio in the introduction in the chat and introduce myself, and I'm gonna reply to whoever jumps in first and see if we can make this work. And I have talked to that woman every single day for the past 400 and some odd days. She's not my only sponsor. I have a God squad. I have a squad, and it's wonderful. We kind of have reversed roles because a little while in, things changed with her life. And so I got a sponsor, and we went through the steps. And the fourth step was hard because it's hard because you have to do hard things. But I learned that I can do hard things. And six and seven, I learned where my defects are, and I'm afraid a lot. I think one of my bigger defects is that I fear the fear of missing out, and it kind of stems back from, wanting to be the cool kid. I got to have all the toys. I got to have everything. And that's one that I'm having to learn about every single day. I don't have to have all the toys. People like me because I'm a good person, and I'm not, most of the time, I'm not a jerk. People like me because of my character. I don't have to impress you with all the things in order to be a, in order for you, at least I think so. So I got a sponsor, I started working the steps, and then all of a sudden I needed time to read and write in the morning. So my alarm was set for 3. Now the alarm goes off at 3:30 in the morning. If anybody had told me 2 years ago that I was going to get up at 3:30 in the morning, I would have said they were insane. The only reason I always said the only reason I'm up at 3:30 in the morning is if I have to go to the bathroom or if my house is on fire. But now routinely every single day, I at least wake up at 3:30 and I have this wonderful routine that starts my day. I do the prayer, I do the meditation, I do a little bit of writing. And my meditation time always involves a cat. I have six cats. If you've heard me around any time, you know that. There's always at least one of them sitting on my tummy in the morning. And I think that there's no better background sound for meditation than a cat's prayer. per. So we have our time, and then I have to say part of my morning routine is doing the Wordle. I have to do the Wordle every day. And then I get out of bed and I feed the cats and I come here and I see your smiling faces. And I hear your stories and I get your you guys help to charge my batteries. And then I dive into my day. And I have taken during the day, even, I have to keep, in order to keep my serenity, I find that I have to keep my batteries charged. And my battery depletes faster than an old cell phone. I forget how I need to do things. So I have to plug back into my program during the day. I log into work at 6 a.m., or 6:05, whatever time it takes me to switch from the computer I'm using right now to my work computer, switch everything over. And then I work for 12 hours. And during that 12 hours, stuff gets crazy. Things break and the client yells at us and whatever. And that depletes my battery, or the cat knocks his bowl off the desk, or whatever. Stuff gets in the way. And so I have to recharge my batteries, and I do that by making some outreach calls. And I do that. I don't do that very often. I kind of suck at it, but I really love when folks call me. And I'm trying to get better with making calls. It's a process. Everything is a process. Getting up at 3:30 in the morning didn't happen immediately. And setting these goals and or not goals, but set having these routines didn't happen immediately. And one of the things that I'm really wanting to work on is getting a better nighttime stack. I try to do a 10th step every day and send it to I have a bunch of people now, my sponsors and my just random friends that I've made over the years, that we send each other our details every day. And I don't do it every day. I write it every day and I forget to send it. But I'm trying to get a better habit of doing that at night before I go to bed. And so that's one of my goals. That's kind of a goal for future. One of the things I have recently, very recently, I know I'm almost out of time, that I've very recently had to put aside, is my weight. And I saw a really good meme on Facebook that was, it was just a picture that somebody had posted in what I imagined to be a doctor's office scale. And it said, just a reminder that the number on this scale is only a measure of your gravitational pull on the earth. It's not a mem a number. It's not a value of your self-worth. It's not a value of your usefulness to your fellow humans. And that really speaks to me, because for so many years, that scale has been, my determining factor of what I think of myself, and how other people, the doctors and my mom and my grandma and all the people who said over for my entire life, you're too fat, you're not worthy. All the kids in school that picked on me and whatever, you're too fat, you're not worthy. Well, I am, and you are, and we all are. No matter what our body types are, we're all worthy. We're worthy of the love of ourselves and of each other and of our higher power. We're all worthy. And I love you, and I'm so glad that I was able. I'm glad I didn't blow off the morning. My eyes opened up, I said, "Oh, I don't have service this morning. I guess maybe I'll even take a day off." And I'm glad I didn't, and I'm glad I'm here. And with a minute left on the clock, I think I'll pass. Thank you, everybody.